Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Tahir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello there, and welcome to those of you listening in and those of you watching right now on Facebook Live. I am Lisa Tahir, your host. I hope that you are experiencing a really good Thursday. I am in New Orleans, and it's actually a magnificent sunshine, breezy, absolutely perfect day. It was so nice to be outside for a little bit. And I'm equally happy to be with you today on this episode. It's episode number 249. And I invite you, if you haven't, to follow me on social media. I'm at Nola Therapy on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. It's the abbreviation for New Orleans, Los Angeles Therapy. And my website is nolatherapy.com, N-O-L-A. therapy.com. Reach out to me to book virtual therapy sessions, phone, FaceTime, Skype, Zoom, as well as ordering my book that released about 6 months ago, having to do with healing our core wounds and vulnerability through empathy and self-forgiveness. I have an online empowerment class. It's 23 to 7 minute videos with really practical wisdom you can apply starting today in your life to make some changes, as well as what else is there? You can join my email list. Please do that. And links to this podcast to listen on all the platforms that it's offered. And I'd really appreciate you if you were to leave a written review and star rating. I posted on my Instagram last night that I have been reviewing podcasts that I love, like going to iTunes and writing a review, giving a star review. It takes time, but it's so important to these podcasts, to us, to really have you say what you like about our show. It's an algorithm that gets us more plays. It gets us more visibility. And my guest today, actually, she's going to be speaking to us about visibility, about branding and marketing. So I feel like she's really a wonderful guest today to help us appreciate and understand these tricks and tips of the trade. Let me think, what else? Okay, let's move in to some of my wonderful affiliates and sponsors. Longtime sponsor, BetterHelp.com. They offer very affordable online therapy through phone or video on their platform, BetterHelp.com. I was a therapist for them for quite a while. They are HIPAA secure, and there are therapists that can help you with all sorts of issues, from depression and anxiety to relationship issues, trauma and abuse. As my listener, they are giving you 10% off your first month. So check them out at BetterHelp.com/ATT for all things therapy. I have some other cool affiliates. If you like audiobooks, music, both Amazon Music and Audible are my affiliates. With Amazon Music, they're actually offering you 3 free months of downloadable music. There are over 70 million songs. And take advantage of 3 months for free, and then you can renew for $9.99 a month. Check it out at getamazonmusic.com/ATT. Also, Audible. Okay, my book's on Audible. I narrated it. I'd love for you to have my book through that platform if you enjoy listening to books as much as I do. Audible trial will give you a free audiobook download of your choice, and you can keep the subscription or not. Go to audibletrial.com/allthingstherapy. And lastly, one of my good friends and fellow podcast host, she is the host of Awake and On Purpose. Jennifer Spohr is launching a masterclass. And this masterclass is centered around how to share your mission and your message in a tangible way that will make an impact and positively change the world. Her masterclass is called Be You and Be Seen. It's an 8-week group program. You can learn more at the link that I'm going to post in the show notes later on this evening. Okay, so now I'm really delighted to have with us today Diane Curran. Diane is host of the Wow Whispering podcast. I was a guest in the last few months, and this project of hers, her podcast, is actually an offshoot of her love of marketing, media, and communications. She is the CEO of The Marketing Deal, where you can learn the skills of high performance communication, marketing, and branding. So important today. Diane is a public speaker. She's a creative developer and a consultant. She's author of The Marketing Deck, which is in its second edition and will be released in 2022. Diane personally is interested and well-versed in how the mind works. She really is a scholar of metaphysics and ancient wisdom found in other cultures. And Diane, I just welcome you to the show today.
Oh, it is my honor and my pleasure, Lisa. The moment we met, I felt like we could talk forever. So here we are, inviting the world to be with us in this conversation. How great. And hello to your listeners.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I'm really happy to have you as my guest because branding and marketing is right now, especially with how prevalent social media is and has certainly come into the spotlight in this last year and some change with the pandemic and people really connecting with others and to others in this way. So I wondered where you might want to start with us in your experience and expertise in this field.
Well, I'm going to say a couple of things, which is that I'm aware that branding and marketing are the words that people sometimes love to hate. And why that is because, like many conversations that kind of go off the rails, it can be abused. And people can put forward things that are actually not branding and marketing. They are deceptions and they are cons and they are confusion. And that's not what we need more of in our lives. And so what I find is that because conversations about what do I have and what do you want and are we a fit are really at the root of marketing and branding, that's what we need to get back to, the fundamentals that really have a purpose in communication, because that's what really turns me on. In fact, Lisa, can I share with you that when I was a kid, back in the sixth grade, I made a choice, which is I'm never going to go into marketing and advertising. What kid says that in the sixth grade?
I know, yeah.
What it was prompted by was I had a teacher who was a wonderful, very vibrant, kind of fiery personality. Her name was Miss Russell. And, you know, back in those days, if you were in the same school, you kind of went through grades 1 through 6. And so you kind of knew who you were getting for your teacher before you got here. And everybody was like, oh, no, we've got Miss Russell. How's that going to be? She's so scary because she would not suffer fools gladly, even if they were kids. So we get into her class. We're all very nervous about this. And what we found out was that she was passionate, but she was passionate for us to be engaged as kids. And she used to be, before she was a school teacher, she was in the big bad world of advertising in New York City, which was the scariest place of all. So we found out that she would love to teach art to us, and it was easy to get her distracted for the entire afternoon and do more art as long as you got her telling stories about the big bad days of advertising. So I said, oh, I am never going to do this. This is too crazy. This is too weird. So guess what? By the age of 22, guess what I was doing? I was in advertising. I was in direct marketing, which back in those days, people said, what the heck is that? Junk mail? And I said, well, it is if you don't want it. But I was lucky enough to work with a pioneer in the greater Boston area in direct marketing. And we had great clients. We had hospitals and not-for-profit organizations and public television and the U.S. Olympic Committee and the people who were inventing a little thing called the personal computing workstation. Wow. So I was lucky enough to be with people who were creating value. Yes. And so I thought I'd stay for a year. Oops, no, it's turning out to be 4 decades in this, not with the same company, but I went on my own after a certain point. So why do I love this, Lisa? Because it gives people a chance to find out how we can serve each other. When you're creating marketing and branding that has purpose and value, well, you're actually providing something that people want and need. And so that's why I still love it after all these years.
You know, that makes sense. And one of my first notes and questions I have for you, Diane, is you talk in your work about going from the invisible to the visible, which I thought was really key because so many of us are doing cool things. Almost everyone I know is doing something just really unique. How do we become seen in the ways that we want to be seen?
Well, I think the first thing you want to do is you want to have a purpose that is, we'll say, big enough. And what I mean by that is big enough to inspire not just your audience, but you. Mm. And why that's so important is that if you're inspired by the work that you're doing, that's going to come through. Before you even open your mouth and say a word, people get, wow, this is a person who's turned on in some way, shape, or form. And I want to find out why and what there is about that. And even if, for example, you choose a product or a profession or a service that the person you're communicating with doesn't need or wants, that's just really not a fit for them. Yeah. They might know somebody else with whom you are a perfect fit. And so you want to be visible, not meaning you want everybody to know everything about you do because they may not be your customer, but you want to be visible as somebody who cares about and is deeply passionate, either in a excited way or in a quiet way, about what it is that you have to offer. And so then people can learn to do that thing that's so elusive and matters. They can trust you. And if they trust you, they're going to want to refer you and connect you with people that they care about in their lives. And isn't that the best?
Diane, and that's exactly the next point that I had to ask about you. It really struck me where you write about when we inspire trust in marketing and branding, we actually invite in what we're seeking. Can you share more about that with us?
Well, you know, marketing and branding is very personal. It's something that if you are willing to share yourself, people are going to ask you questions that you may not expect. In fact, you know, what I love is that we're doing that right now. I have no idea what you're going to share with me or ask me or tell me. And I'm up for that because I know that I have something to communicate to you and we'll invent something together. I'll discover something new. I'll learn something today. How great is that?
Yes.
So marketing is very personal because ultimately you want to connect with somebody that you intend to serve or provide something that they need or want. And if you're not the person to provide it, you can connect them with somebody who knows that because you maybe know about your profession, you know about your industry, you know about the area that you've chosen. And you know a lot more sometimes than you recognize until somebody asks you that question. And I also say that marketing and branding is primal. And what do I mean by primal? What I mean by that is it speaks to emotions that are really core to us as human beings. It speaks to survival and security and love and community and adventure and freedom and fun and so much more. And that's what people want. Marketing is not always about make them fearful because then you can solve their problem. No, no, no. That's a different story. That's something that, I mean, if people are afraid of something, they do want support and security and they do want a solution. But sometimes they want to meet a desire. They want to advance their own goals. They want to learn something about themselves. And these are very core to us as human beings. Even when we're little kids, we're seeking this. But we're especially seeking it when we're full-grown adults capable of going on that search and that quest for life that we all have. So marketing and branding need to serve that. And you as a person with whatever profession you're in, you know, for example, you in the world of therapy, you are there to give people an access to a quality of life that they may not be able to get to on their own. So they need support. They need someone who can be a guide, who can be a resource, who can be a cheerleader and a support. How great is that?
It is. Oh, and go back about even today, you know, the kind of surprise, you don't know what I'm going to ask you. And I felt the same way when I was on your podcast. And that can be really exciting because it's not like cookie cutter work. And some of the most exciting and times when I'm also like, oh, shit, is when a client says, you know, Lisa, let me just ask you personally. And I'm like, like part of me is like, what the hell are they going to ask? But it's always something that's really awesome to answer or share. And so I think you know, inspiring trust. I wonder the relationship, because to me, it comes down to authenticity at some level. What's the relationship between authenticity and marketing and branding in your experience?
So this comes down to why I chose the name The Marketing Deal, D-E-A-L. Okay. Now, deal is a very scary word. Sometimes we think, uh-oh, this is a bad deal, or what, is this the real deal? Or am I going to like this deal, or is it going to be you win and I lose? And my feeling about that is, let's claim what that word can be. And in fact, that word has four letters in it. And let me tell you the meanings I decided to assign to those four letters, D-E-A-L. I decided that D stands for dedication develops. And then the next letter, E, stands for excellence elevates. Then after that, you've got an A for awareness advances. And finally, what do you get to? You get to leadership launches. Now, these are all great, powerful words individually with each of these letters. But what they do is they move you through a process. We talked about trust. We talked about creating value. And what I really feel works to make a deal solid and something that you want to tell other people about and, you know, kind of connect the person that gave you a good deal to perhaps somebody who needs a good deal, is you develop the idea that something has been exchanged of value. And so we're talking about win, win, and then ultimately a third win, which is it goes beyond you and you as the recipient and you as the provider. And so these are the kinds of things that I know that people who are out to really accomplish something in life, they want to do. Sometimes they don't have the words for it, though. You know, yeah. They don't have the message. They don't have the visuals. And that's where someone like myself comes in to say, well, let's make sure that that person out here who you haven't met yet is going to get the message you intend to send. And let me be the person who can share what you might not see is being projected in what you're saying or what you're showing. And let's work together to have that be something that not only is accurate and authentic, but turns you on even more as a provider. So you feel like you can shine. And guess what? That turns invisibility to visibility because now you're willing to be seen for who you really are.
What are some of the ways that you do that with people, Diane? I'm curious about that.
So I start with listening. Mm-hmm. You know, clearly I'm a person who has a lot of words available. I can do that. But I love to start with listening. And I listen for two things, what's being said and what's not being said. Mm. So it can be what's present and maybe what's missing. Or what is the question that what just got said prompts in the mind of somebody who's listening to you and they might be afraid to ask it. They might not know if it's mm-hmm. okay to ask you this question, right? Just like the example you gave a little earlier. It's like they say, well, Lisa, let's get real about this. I want to really ask you a question. You're like, whoops.
Yes.
What's it going to be? Am I prepared to answer it?
Right.
And guess what? It's okay to say, wow, that is a really great question. And you know what? I'm not sure how to answer it. Let's explore this together. And let's see whether or not I can answer your question or whether we need to consider some other things that haven't come up in our conversation so far. It's okay to not know everything, right?
Yes, yes. I say that as well when I don't know in the moment that, you know, let me get back to you. So I agree.
And I'm going to take it a step further with you. And I know this is territory that you probably explored quite a bit, which is the I don't know is a powerful place to be. Now, why is it powerful? It's because now you have empty space to create something brand new, individually or together. And what a fantastic place that is. That brings up things like collaboration, discovery, exploration, experimentation, innovation.
It takes the fear out of it, too.
I'm glad to hear you say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can be fearful about it. I mean, that's okay. You can say, I'm not sure I'm ready to do this. Like if somebody said, Diane, would you like to go bungee jumping tomorrow? It's like, let me think about that. Let me consider the reasons why I'd be open to it and the reasons I might not. But you know what? I might want to go and support you. Now we all learn a little bit more about it.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. I might be ready the next time or the time after. Or I might say, I'm going to be your best cheerleader. I'm going to always be with you because I'm there for your safety. I might not be the one doing the jumping, but I might be there just being with you as your caring friend or your caring team.
like accountability partner comes to mind as well. I see you in that role, and we can be that role to our loved ones and business colleagues, associates, friends. Is that where you're going with this?
It is. And, you know, it's an interesting thing because when I work with clients, my favorite possibility is to work with somebody who has an interest in collaboration, because we're going to do things. You know, one of the big words in marketing and branding is another four-letter word besides deal is test, because you don't know what the audience is going to do in response to something that's brand new that you just created. You may have some ideas, and I may certainly have some experience and expertise to bring to the project as well, but we don't know the conditions into which we're going to put this. For example, think about a year ago, a year and some months ago now, when nobody knew the word COVID, nobody knew the word coronavirus,
right?
And we're all making big plans for 2020. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And oh my gosh, and I feel so good. And I've worked so hard to get to this place. And now I'm going to do these five things and I've got it all planned out. And lo and behold, an unknown condition popped up in the world that shifted people's attention away from their normal focus, shifted your attention away from your normal focus. Mm-hmm. So you had a new set of circumstances to consider and adapt to and adjust to. So that's why marketing is always a test. This is always a test. Mm-hmm. As they say on the radio, this is only a test. Well, this is always a test is what I want to change that to. And because of that, this is always a learning opportunity. And people who are moving themselves forward in life, usually in the very public arena, whether it's Warren Buffett or, you know, Microsoft or anybody else, they're always learning something new from the marketplace and paying attention to conditions and opinions and circumstances and questions and needs that they had no idea were going to crop up when they made their great plans on January 1st for the current year. We're in that same place in 2021, aren't we? We don't know how things are going to go because suddenly we have a thing called opening up.
Right. No, you're right about that, Diane. You know, so I'm wondering, okay, I'm thinking this could be a good spot to kind of weave in, since I was a guest on your Wow Whispering podcast. And I know from our conversations about your knowledge and love of metaphysics and just intuition and really blending in spirituality and all sorts of things into your life and your work. And so might it be a place to kind of include that where you talk in your work about how high performance communication, it begins in the heart of conversation. And I wonder if you could tell us more about what that looks like and kind of how you have both worlds going on, the business world and the spiritual and the psychological, like how that has all come together in your life. Because I think it's really interesting.
Oh, Lisa, I love that you want to talk about that. So let's do it. Let's talk about that. So I, of course, always pay attention to media, especially some new media that's coming along and getting, you know, kind of a hot attention. And I don't know, 3-4 years ago, I thought, yeah, this podcasting thing, yeah, for sure, it's taking off really big time. And I'm meeting some interesting people who are being hot podcast hosts. Do I want to be one? Well, I do like to talk and I do like to listen. So that's a good qualification.
Yes.
And I have done media in the past. I've been on TV, I've been on radio, I've done all those things, you know, the different media. So I thought to myself, well, what would I talk about? What would my show be about? And I thought, well, I'm not a person who, when I walk down the street, everybody says, now there goes a person who's got a lot to say. I can be very quiet. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, I like the word wow. People often say that to me. And so that's why it became part of my own tagline. You know, the art and science of wow was an early tagline. And I thought, well, wow is something that people aim for. And you don't even need a definition. Matter of fact, most people could not define the word. But that's not all there is to who I am as a potential host. What else could there be in that? And a word popped into my brain from my intuition that said, how about whispering? I said, oh my gosh, those two seem like opposites. I've got them both happening. Let me just claim this space. Talk about, getting visible. And I thought, well, I'm going to see what happens, because now I feel like I can talk about both sides of the equation to people, because some people are quiet and some people are noisy. God bless us all, right?
Yeah.
And some people are those at different times of the day or the year or their chapters in life.
Absolutely.
So now I can talk about anything. Oh boy, isn't that great? And so I started to say, well, so what is that? And that's when my taglines started to gradually reveal themselves. Because I am a great believer in, if you don't have the answer, go to sleep, let your unconscious do the heavy lifting, and you might get a great answer in the morning or the next day or 3 days later. Just be listening for that. So that's when the heart of conversation kind of came through. And I said, heart of conversation. I like that because it's got art in there, and I love art. And
oh, you do? Yes. You're so good with words, too.
So I've got all that. Yeah, so I've got the heart of conversation. I love talking. Now, alliteration, one of my favorite games to play. So let's see. Is there anything else with an H I can go for? Oh, I know. High performance communication. So the heart of conversation seems nice and soft. High performance communication. What is that? Well, acting is high performance communication. Why? Mm-hmm. Because you want the audience to get right there with you real quick. You want them to be there with your feelings and your emotions, not just the words you're saying. Those are important. Not just your stagecraft of you're walking around in a live theater or you're in a movie set and the director's yelling cut and then they're yelling go and so forth. So you got to be there. And an actor has to bring your emotions to the surface quickly and on cue. That's not an easy thing to do. You got to learn how to do that.
Right.
Right? And high performance communication, what's that like? What about the world of football and soccer? Your teammates need to be right there with you so that with just a move of an arm or a glance,
you can
telegraph exactly what you want them to do because you've practiced a lot. You're always, on the field but you're in a game and now you got a time limit. You got, got the other team doing exactly the same thing for their teammates. So high performance communication, oftentimes we have it that happens fast and it's just a few words. So here's a perfect example. Again, sports. Okay. Let's go to Nike. When I say Nike, is there anything that comes to mind?
Just do it.
There you go. Three little words. Just do it. They spent a lot of time and a lot of money to come up with those three little words, right? And they condensed it down to three little words. Truth be told, though, inside of that, they have a mission. And that's not their tagline. But their mission started from, years ago, an idea that everybody is an athlete. And that's who we want to serve. Now, are they Olympic class athletes? Not necessarily. Are they weekend warriors? Maybe. Are they somebody who's just trying something for the first time? Well, everybody's an athlete. So let's be ready for everybody from a certain point of view. And then they came up with just do it. And people are like, yes.
Yeah, it applies to so many things.
Yeah. So high performance communication can happen with just three words, or it can happen with no words at all.
And it can be universal, I sense, too.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, people talk about charisma and you think, oh my gosh, this person comes on the screen as a movie actor. They don't even say anything and I'm already watching. What is she doing? What is he doing? What are they thinking? What are they feeling? They haven't said a word yet. Mm-hmm. High performance communication can occur in many realms. So I love that it brings in, when I say metaphysics, I think something beyond the visible, something beyond the tangible. Yes. Something that might be even hard to put into words.
Right.
You know it exists. And oh my gosh, we're in a renaissance right now. Talk about metaphysics in the world of exploration and astronomy and all these worlds of literally training telescopes that we human beings crafted on the skies above. The things we are learning about what we know and, we don't know, what we don't know yet.
Exactly, like being on Mars. Right now, discovering there.
We sent a helicopter up there that looks like somebody, like a kid made it in their backyard. And it's like, and that thing is flying around in a low atmosphere that has almost nothing. And oh, by the way, they also made some oxygen up there. Yikes.
Right. I read that.
Breathable oxygen. This kind of stuff, I want to eat it up with this all day long. I just love it. Branding. I'm going to talk about astronomy and astrology and metaphysics. Yes. And I'm going to talk about art. And I'm going to talk about, the arts, meaning things like books and movies and things like that. I want people to feel welcome to bring their whole selves when they're my guests. And let's see what we discover together. And you and I did that.
No, you do. You're so good at that. And I loved, so I'm going to ask you, I'm going to turn the tables and ask for you to share, as you asked me on your show, about a wow in your life.
Okay. So there was a wow.
A wow and a whisper.
Wow looked like a giant whoops at the time.
Okay.
And what it was in the fifth grade, my father had said to me, you know, they have these free music programs and I think you should take an instrument there, even though I was already taking piano lessons because my mother had started piano when she was four. So we had a piano and I was taking them. But he said, you know, let's do that. He said, but my father was very interesting. He said he was a plumber by trade and he used to help build new buildings with, you know, these big plumbing systems in them. So he was, so he's looking at the whole picture. He said, well, most kids are going to want to take the violin or the flute or something else, but I think you should try the cello. I said, the cello, it's giant. He said, yeah, but not that many people take those lessons. So you might get an opportunity to play more things in the orchestra, play more songs. Mm-hmm. There'll always be a place for you. And I said, okay, Dad. Well, of course, it was a free music program. So these big old honking cellos that were too big for me to carry on. But fortunately, I had a boyfriend who was very tall and he would carry my cello for me.
That's sweet.
So I got the attention of the music teacher who decided that myself and a girl who was in my same class who happened to be a piano prodigy and these two older kids who were violinists, we would become a string quartet. And pianos are actually, you know, based on strings too. So that qualified, right? And so the goal was at the end of the year, we'd always did the school did a school-wide or a system-wide, the whole town and all the different elementary schools would come together and do a concert. So we would play a song. So he decided that we were going to play a song called The Pony Race, which has a million notes, right?
Okay.
So we learned that. We practiced and practiced and practiced. And he was an interesting guy because he had a parrot who somehow could put up with all these kids practicing their music in his studio. Because when you know, you were terrible until you were better, right?
Okay, right.
So it comes the night of the concert. And of course, we're in the middle of the thing and I'm playing in the orchestra and we have to support all the other schools who are playing their pieces on the flutes and so forth. So it came time for us to come up on stage, the pianist, the two violinists and me. So I had to carry my cello up.
Okay.
So I was in the string section. And one of the kids who played violin decided, even though I was very careful, I knew exactly where I had to take my cello to move up these risers and get onto the stage. She decided she would help me out, even though she didn't need to. And she would back up her chair. Well, then her chair backed up and fell between the stage and the back of the piano.
Whoa.
Not a good thing. It was one of those upright pianos. And I thought, oh, my God. And I was completely freaked out. Said, it's because of me that she's having this accident. Somehow she was okay. People helped her, picked her up. She got back. She said, I'm doing fine. Everything's good. And I thought, okay. So now I had to go up on stage. I was completely beside myself.
Totally.
I was like, oh, my God, this is just the worst thing ever. And I had to sit down and we had to play this music. By the way, we didn't have music in front of us. We had to memorize this.
Oh my gosh, Diane!
My mind was a complete blank.
Yeah,
and I thought I don't know anything about those million notes, including even what are the first ones I'm supposed to play. Somehow, thank God, the pianist in this particular piece we're going to play called "The Pony Race." She had to play a few notes, right, to start us off. That was kind of the structure. And that was a common structure in old classical music, was that one person would start and then the rest of people would join.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, let's see what happens. Somehow she played her first few notes and the violinist and I came in and I don't know what allowed me to do this. I played all the notes and I played them right.
It came right through you.
It came through me. And I was in the ether. I was like above my body watching this happen, like, really? And so the only reason I know I played all the notes right is at the end, everybody was clapping.
That's awesome.
Like it had gone good. And then somehow the teacher decided he would call me out and acknowledge me in front of the group because this is my first year. I'd never played before. And I got a standing ovation. I thought,
oh, that's awesome. Wow.
This is a wow.
Yeah.
That started out as a giant whoops. And I think it contained a whisper because somehow something was whispering to me in a way that My hands were playing the right notes, even though my mind was like, what?
Yes. Well, I imagine because you practiced so much, it was in you, and just hearing those first few notes allowed you to drop in to that
place. Yeah. Even though my mind was a complete shambles, something else took over. So my mind was not needed, it turns out,
for
that moment. And so I learned something about art, about trust, about not being in charge of like having to run it with my mind. So that was a moment that, you know, I never forgot.
Totally. And it applies, I think, so many times in life that our innate knowing, and especially I found when we practice, when we prepare, that it just, we're able to perform back to that high performance piece that you.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up, Lisa. Now, I'll tell you what, it reminds me of something. Years ago, oh, probably 15, 20 years ago, I was attending class. I love going to classes and learning stuff, right?
Yeah.
And there was a woman running the class, and she happened to have some people that she wanted to speak. And one of them was a woman who was making a good part of her living as a professional speaker. She had previously been a therapist of some particular modality. It was not psychology, but something like that. And she got up and she was very kind of casual. And she said, you know, I find these days when I'm invited to speak, I don't prepare. I thought to myself, okay. And I thought to myself, you know, she just did herself a big disservice because she just shared with the audience, this audience, that she didn't think enough of us to prepare.
Yeah.
Now, she might have been great as a speaker, but I don't think saying those words helped her connect more with her audience.
Credibility, absolutely. Yes.
It got in my way because I was all ready to say, wow, she's doing, you know, she's earning money. This is great. This is. But I was like, oh, I don't prepare. And frankly, her speech was rambling. And it was so interesting. And I thought to myself, perhaps she could have phrased it another way. So this is where I come into high performance communication. She only had a moment to grab that audience. And she didn't grab 100% of the audience with that statement. Yet she could have.
Yeah.
There's so many things she could have done. She could have said, I'm going to tell you a secret, but I want to get in cahoots with you because here's something I've experimented with. Now, I would have been on the edge of my seat.
Totally. It caused you to lean in. Like,
exactly.
What is that?
Like, you're going to share a secret with me? I wonder where it's going to be. And then she could have said, you know what I've been experimenting with? Sometimes I prepare a speech and sometimes I don't. And here's what I've learned about myself from that. Now, I would have been with her the rest of the way.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it wouldn't have taken much for her to say that. It wouldn't have taken long. And, you know, so it's interesting how high performance communication, I love what you said, preparing and learning and getting ready. I always prepare. Now, I'm sure there are people who say, but you over prepare. Yeah, I got pages and pages of notes. Do I use them all? Of course not. But did I go through the process of taking my mind and focusing it? And then if I didn't need it, I could set it aside. Just like when I played that piece, it's like, yeah, I did all that practicing, as you said. So something was already in my body, maybe in my emotions, maybe in my mind-body connection. And so it stepped up when my mind was not available because I was distracted by something else. So it wasn't like my mind would have happily joined in. In fact, I notice when I do art, sometimes my mind is in the background. I'm not using it to do what I do, but it's reporting to me what it notices. Hey, I don't like that. What about this? I wonder what this is going to turn into. I'm not sure that's going to go down the right way. And I always say to it, I don't know either. Let's find out together.
And I love that. And before our time is done, I really want to hear about the second edition of your book coming out, The Marketing Deck. Can you share with us about your book? Because it just, it's really interesting to me what this is all about.
So I decided to write a book, not because I was thinking that I knew what to do, but something came through one day and I thought, well, if I wrote a book about marketing, it would probably be boring because so many of them, frankly, might be. Because it's like, do this. Oh, I don't know what to do. So I thought, well, what could I do? Could I make it fun? And suddenly I got the idea for a deck of cards. And the deck of cards would look like regular cards on the front, right? I'm showing this up.
I'm glad you have them. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, some people can see this. What's going in and out of my virtual background? Isn't this fun?
It is.
So appearing and disappearing, like visible magic. And invisible, right? So I thought, this is what the card deck looks like. The back is always the same. But on the front, I'm going to take the spades and the hearts and the diamonds and the clubs. But then I'm going to add some different meanings that have to do with marketing topics. And I'm going to add some new cards. I'm going to create some extra suits. And I'm going to create a deck of cards so that people who say, oh, I hate marketing plans. And when I do them, I write them and I put them in the desk and then never look at them again. I thought, don't worry about it. Shuffle the cards, pick however many you want. You can pick two, you can pick one, you can pick six. You can play a game and pick the winning hand in a poker game. And then let's take a look at the ideas that you've allowed to surface through your play and through your intuition. And let's see what you might use in your business next. And
that's
let's
awesome.
Be playful. And people
that's
loved it. So what I'm going to do with the second edition is I'm going to streamline it even further in terms of the suggestions that people can use and really get down to the nitty gritty. Because I have it that you can do a marketing plan in six sentences and you can use those ideas. You can play with new ideas as long as you're willing to experiment. And after all, didn't I just say earlier something about marketing always being a test?
Yes.
Well, here's your chance, right? Test yourself, test the world, test your audience, test your ideas. So the second edition is going to have the book be primarily an ebook so that people can do it online. Then they get the deck of cards, they can have it physically, or I may end up doing an ebook, an e-deck of cards as well. We'll see how that goes. But I'm playing with it myself because, you know, it just lends itself to that. So pick a page, any page is what I say, and start there. You don't have to read it from back to front, front to back, or the middle out. Just pick a page, start there, and let's see what crops up for you.
I love your card deck idea and the way it really involves our intuition, you know, to select cards and see what comes up and really allowing our subconscious to flow and choose information for us that we need. I think you've really tapped in to the conscious and subconscious mind with this.
Well, I did an experiment. I did, I think it was 50 Facebook Live things. We're on my, I have a Facebook group that I forgot to tell you about called Play Your Way. You go there and I've got videos where I actually had people as guests and they literally picked a card or had me pick it. And then we riffed on that for the entire time. And they said, oh, I never thought about that for my own business. So you can, in fact, get new ideas without having the horrible, tedious thing of like thinking them up.
Right.
Just pick them out of a deck and see where it takes you.
That's refreshing. And then lastly, I noticed too that you offer a Wake Up Your Wow program and you share these three wows, and I'm just going to say them, having to do with one, owning yourself, two, finding where you fit, and three, stand up and stand out. Can you share what this is about for our listeners in case they want to join in on your program?
Thank you. Yes, it's on my website. And really what at the heart of it is what I call everyday charisma. Now, we oftentimes think that person's charismatic, I'm not. And oftentimes that's a mistaken notion. You've
yes.
got charisma. You just may not have surfaced it up yet. You may not have let it bubble up yet. So what I do is I work with people to look at, so what is your charisma? And let's see how we can authentically present that so you're comfortable with it and people can access it and get who you really are, because that's what they want after all.
It is. So that's what this is about, to help people accessing that yeah. place within themselves, their authenticity, going from the invisible to the visible.
That's it. And you can always go back and forth between the two. You don't have to be visible 100% of the time. You can hide out for a little while, take a vacation, then come back on stage.
You know, this has been awesome to have you on. And I'll have this in the show notes, but your websites are wowwhispering.com and themarketingdeal.com. You can be found, you have a YouTube channel, The Marketing Deal, Instagram, The Marketing Deal, and let me see. What else do you want listeners
well,
to know?
Twitter is wow Diane. And my LinkedIn is just my name. But I have an offer. I have something for people who want to kind of play with the cards without having to even have a deck of cards yet. Right on my homepage on The Marketing Deal. Just go in and click in, opt in, and send me your main marketing message question, the thing that's kind of been bugging you and you haven't got an answer for. And I will choose a wildcard brainstorm for you, get back to you, and give you some ideas that you can begin testing and working with yourself.
Oh, that's awesome. So go through themarketingdeal.com and send you a question.
Pops up right on the homepage there.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you for that offer.
Thank you.
Okay, well, Dan, this has been great because I've gotten to know you more this time around.
You're a delight, I'll tell you. And I thank you. I feel like I was doing more talking than I usually do because I like to listen. But oh my gosh, you are such a pleasure to be with, my dear.
I appreciate it, as are you, Diane. I look forward to our continued conversations.
Thank you so much, Lisa. And thank you to everybody who's listening with us. Who knows what you all are going to create next for yourselves?
Yes. Have the best afternoon.
Thank you. I will. And you too.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
That concludes my show today with Diane Curran. Again, find her at wowwhispering.com and themarketingdeal.com. And I've saved kind of the best new thing I have going on for last. I consulted with, if you don't know, the Emotional Badass podcast. It's awesome, about boundaries, about mental health, about if you're highly sensitive and intuitive and empath. Nikki Eisenhower is a therapist, a coach, and we consulted about, she has a really successful Patreon campaign. Patreon.com is a platform for podcasters, artists, creatives to offer you something in exchange for a monthly subscription from $1 a month through the different tiers that we have. So I've taken time to completely revamp my Patreon, and I offer 6 tiers of support. From $1 a month, $3 a month, $5, $10, $25, and $100 a month, offering you all kinds of things from free sessions, discounted sessions, signed copy of my book, an ebook, distance Reiki healing. So I'd really love for you to go and check out my page. It's at patreon.com/allthingstherapy. One word, patreon.com/allthingstherapy. I'd love your support, your review on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you listen. And I am giving back some really awesome stuff. So thank you. And I'll be with you next week. Mwah. Bye.
You're listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Tahir.